Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you're wondering, why does Jim Barrier join us on the air twice a month? Well, now, what else would he be doing? Jim, welcome to our program.
I often wonder the same thing myself, but I really love being on the show, Bob. I was trying to figure out today how long we've been doing things together. It started when you came to San Antonio.
Well, that was 2006 that I came to San Antonio. And then for a couple of years, I was a guest on your Texas show. And you occasionally were a guest on mine. I think it was not long after your Texas show went off the air that we decided to give you a taste of radio heaven over here.
Yeah. So, but really, we've been acquainted now for a good 16 years. It's been a delight. And so hopefully we'll get a lot more years out of this and keep doing what we do, whatever that is.
Well, so long as Joe Biden's Ministry of Truth doesn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, my gosh.
Joe Goebbels Biden.
Well, I'm going to jump into this and give me a few minutes here to set up what I want to talk about. And, you know, films about a dystopian future have been all the rage for several years now. Hunger Games and such. But that is not a new concept. In fact, brilliant authors long ago were writing things like this. And when I was in high school, I read three books. Well, actually, I read more than that, but there were three that really left an impression on me. And I want to give a little synopsis of each one here, if I may. The first one is 1984 by George Orwell. Now, you know, I've mentioned Animal Farm, a number of times on the show, but 1984 was really probably the most famous work. So 1984, which now has been a long time ago, is a story about a world in which there is a constant state of war. There's government surveillance everywhere. They call it Big Brother. Now we have TV reality shows called Big Brother. Historical revision and propaganda is the order of the day. There are thought police who persecute individualism and free thinking because they have thought crimes, which now we're knocking on the door of that again. Newspeak, where they kind of rewrite the language of what words mean and they change the definition of words. Interesting, huh? Doublethink, which is two things could be opposite, but they're both true. And so there's really not any absolute truth anywhere to the point where 2 + 2 = 5. Interesting stuff. And so 1984. It seemed like science fiction then. Now it seems like current events. The next one is Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Huxley, by the way, died on November 22nd, 1963, the same day as C.S. Lewis and John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Right, right.
All three of those guys died on the same day. That's pretty bizarre. I can't find it. Years ago, I read a book by somebody, and it was a fiction, but it was like a little debate or discussion between
those
three.
Yeah, that was Peter Kreeft. He used to write for InterVarsity Press, and he did a lot of those meetings of the minds of people who had just died and their discussions in the other world. Yeah, really interesting.
I'd love to get a copy of that and look at it again. So in Brave New World, there's a world state where people are environmentally engineered in mass production. They live in a caste system. There's no religion. Instead, there's a symbolic revered father figure, Henry T. Ford. They use the name of Ford kind of like a deity. So things are AF, after Ford, and oh dear Ford, and stuff like that. Crosses on churches and buildings were broken off the top to form a T in honor of Ford's first car, the Model T. Past historical events aren't significant to the present time. Historical books, Bibles, poetry are all forbidden. This is wild here. Anthrax, an infectious disease of wild and domesticated animals, can be transmitted to people. People get this is weird. I read the book, and it was pretty weird in the 60s. People got together to sing and take drugs and have group sex to encourage unity in the world state. They called it orgy porgy. and then the drug that they took, the drug of choice was Soma, which, as advertised, offers all the advantages of Christianity and alcohol with none of the defects. Weird stuff. And then the third one was Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury, and a little bit later. And this is a book where in this world, 451, books are outlawed. And they have firemen who burn any books that are found, hence the title 451. 451 degrees Fahrenheit is the temperature at which paper catches fire. Later in his life, Bradbury said that the book was a commentary on mass media reducing interest in reading literature. And in 1994, he said the book is more relevant now because of political correctness, which he described as the real enemy, thought control and control of free speech. So here's the deal. I read those as a teenager, and it seemed inconceivable. Inconceivable! I do not think that word means what you think it means.
From the Princess Bride there.
And, you know, we're limited now. I'm looking at a world that comes right off the pages of fantasy sci-fi from decades ago. And, of course, there have been many visionaries. Jules Verne, H.G. Wells, a lot of those guys wrote things that have later on come to pass. But these things are scary because it talks about the danger of government overreach. I'm telling you, people can accuse me of being a conspiracy theorist. I just see this stuff and I think it scares me. You know, you look at what has happened in nations in just in the last century or so. You know, you look at the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, and you look at Hitler's Third Reich, and then around the world, different dictators and people who have risen to power, and you see what they can do to the masses and how they can control them. And for so long, I've consoled myself and said, well, that would never happen in America. That couldn't happen here. We value freedom too much, and we're educated, and we're moral people. And now
it's
already
happening. That ship has sailed.
Yeah. So that's kind of setting up some of the things that I want to talk about tonight. And call it conspiracy theories, if you will, but we're going to cite some facts, and we're going to talk about some realities that are happening right now in our country and in current events.
And I mentioned this on the air just the other day. If we're citing the facts, it's not a conspiracy theory. It may be a conspiracy, but it's a factual conspiracy.
Yeah. And there are conspiracies. You'd have to be totally blind and in great denial to not see conspiracy. You know what the word conspiracy means, by the way? Think about it. Break the word down. C-O-N, con, means with or together. And spiracy comes from spirit or breath or wind. And so it literally means to be breathing together. And you have this picture of people kind of huddled together so close they can feel each other's breath, and they're whispering secrets and talking about what the next step is. And that's what conspiracy is. And I'm telling you, you see it on many, many levels right now, and probably nowhere more dangerous than in the nation's capital. And you see these people coming out of closed-door meetings and making decisions, people that make decisions and pass laws that you and I are supposed to submit to, but we don't really have any say in those things. It used to be that we were represented by people we voted for, and they're supposed to have our best interests. When's the last time you can remember that being a reality?
Yeah, that's like fantasy land now.
Yeah. Forgive me, folks, if I sound a little cynical tonight, but there's just stuff going on in the world that should be very troubling to all of us. It's been 18 months now, I suppose. What are we in? Well, we're in August. Yeah. Since the mob on January 6th at the Capitol took over, or at least it intruded, trying to prevent the transition of power. And largely because these people believed that the election was fake and that it was stolen. And largely because the outgoing president, Mr. Trump, said so. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot on this show and also on World News Brief and other programs. I think it was a bogus election. I don't know if there's anything we'll ever be able to do about it. I don't know that we'll ever be able to prevent it in the future. But that led to this demonstration, and prosecutors are closing in on 900 arrests. They're still arresting people. The Justice Department says that more than 855 members of that crowd are facing charges, which range from trespassing on restricted grounds to seditious conspiracy. There's that word again.
Well, and it's such a scam because their purpose was not to go in there and commit violence and prevent the transfer of power. It was a protest to just get the attention of Congress so that Congress could make the vote that they wanted them to make. It did get out of hand, but people forget a very, very small percentage of the ones that were protesting actually broke into the Capitol building.
By the way, the demonstrations and riots, the violence in Portland with buildings being burned, the attack was on a federal building.
Exactly. And nobody from the Democratic Party said one single word.
Not a word. Nor any of my liberal friends who are so up in arms. They defend that, say nothing's really going on.
And they call it a peaceful protest, and if you complain about it, you're the violent one.
So now we're back to 1984 and newspeak. We're rewriting, we're redefining words, which, man, it's amazing some of the euphemisms the government comes up with. We'll talk about a couple.
Well, and even 1984, they just tried to nullify the effects of words, like getting rid of adjectives, good, double plus good, triple plus good. But the newspeak of today, basically left means right, up means down, evil means good, good means evil. They're actually replacing words with their opposite meaning.
Isn't there something in the scripture about woe unto those who call evil?
The prophet Isaiah, chapter 5 of Isaiah. Yep.
I know I'd read that somewhere. Okay, so back to this demonstration and the arrest. Nearly 950 arrested, 325 defendants have pled guilty to crimes of that day. The vast majority of them are misdemeanor crimes.
And yet a lot of them are going to jail for misdemeanor crimes. And yet there's a guy in New York City that's been guilty of violence. He's been guilty of rape. He keeps going out like a revolving door. Or at least he's been charged with those things, and they're not holding him because they have those no bail laws.
You know, all of those freedom fighters who want to get Brittany Griner out of a Russian prison for actually breaking the law, a Russian law in Russia, why don't they want to set these people free who have been in prison this whole time? Anyway.
Because they support Trump. That's why. Trump's the wild card that Trump's all, pun intended.
That's good. How many times can you get away with using that? That's a great line.
I actually am surprised how few times I've used that line, but it is an obvious one.
Yeah, I'm tempted to use it all the time, and I think, oh, come on. Nah, but it's true. It's a great line. So at least 57 people who were involved in that day's events, part of that crowd, get this, 57 of them were running for public office.
I had not realized that the public office in local levels, I'm sure it wasn't our Congress, our U.S. Congress.
Well, statistically, it doesn't...
Probably state and municipal governments, I would assume.
But the fact that they're, you know, running for public office, it just seems odd.
Yeah, a chance to put a bunch of Republican politicians in jail. Not that I have any great love for our Republicans these days, but I have contempt for the Democrats. Yeah.
And just in this past week, an attorney in a recent court filing, an attorney said that at least, this blew me away, 20 FBI and agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which I think is a really bad combination, by the way, other assets were, you go down to the corner store and say, I need some alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Now, you could do that here in Texas. I digress. That at least 20 federal agents were in that crowd scattered around the Capitol on the day of the riot.
And when asked if they assisted the riots openly before Congress, a representative of the FBI said, I cannot answer that question.
Of course you cannot. You know, I wonder what the heck were they doing there? Because they certainly didn't do anything to stop it.
Well, it was. I was about to say it was a perfect storm, but a perfect storm usually just happens by chance. This was a created storm because Nancy Pelosi was not authorizing the police to do any protection. Donald Trump was refused his offer to send in the National Guard ahead of time. Doesn't that offer itself suggest that Trump did not want things to get out of hand?
Well, you know, and I just thought of a term when you're saying that maybe we have perfect storm troopers.
There you go. Whoa, we're just full of the puns tonight. The zingers are just coming out left and right.
Mostly left. But talk about what a violent thing it was and that people were killed. Okay, a total of 5 people died.
One of them was an ex-military woman who was shot by a policeman from the Capitol.
Yeah, one of them was shot by a Capitol.
There was no protest of police violence over that, and she wasn't doing anything violent. She wasn't harassing anybody.
She wasn't attacking
anybody.
Okay. And then the other one of them died of a drug overdose. Well, that's certainly a bad way to take over a building. And then three died of natural causes. So all of these, we just throw this stuff out there and they spin it. So there's the truth, folks. One person shot by Capitol Police, one died of a drug overdose, and three died of natural causes. What a violent revolution. Now they keep
they're going to milk it dry for everything it's worth, Jim.
Yeah. So sick of the word insurrection. I've read enough novels and history, and I'm familiar with the word insurrection. Here are two definitions of insurrection. An attempted coup by a group of people to defeat their government and take control of the country, usually by violence. I don't think that is what took place that day.
No, but it describes a heck of a lot of stuff that the Democrats have been sanctioning. A heck of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. But the second definition of insurrection is the act of rising against civil authority or government restraint, specifically the armed resistance of a number of persons to the power of the state, incipient or limited rebellion. That's not what took place on January 6th either. Yeah, there was a crowd, and I think they did get out of control, and there was a lot of people, but this was not an attempt to overthrow the government or to take control. I explained that the five people that died had nothing to do, or at least they were not killed by these protesters.
And Jim, you watch. After they're done arresting the ones that broke in, they'll go to other people that were there protesting that day who did not break in, and they'll find reasons to arrest them. Mark my words.
Yeah. And so we are at least 1 foot in the door of the dystopian future that I never thought could happen in my lifetime. It's crazy. Now, I have read the transcript of Trump's speech. There is no inciting the people to riot.
He went out of his way to say peacefully make your voices known. He went out of his way to say that.
Yeah, he did. He stood on his ground that the electoral fraud, but he told his supporters, go home in peace. Now, that's not inciting a riot. And yet you get Nancy and her little minions and they try to impeach. Oh, Liz Cheney, how did that work out?
Yeah. I am so glad they primaried her out of there.
I hope we don't hear a lot from her anymore. There was actually...
Oh, of course we'll hear from her. She'll be the darling of the mainstream media. She's got a gig at MSNBC or CNN anytime she wants it. She's hinting now that she's going to run for president.
Yeah, running for president.
Really? She's that brave heroine who dared to stand up to her own Republican Party. Is anybody in the Democratic Party who dares to stand up to them ever called brave? Of course not. They grind them up and spin them out so quickly.
If they do, only once. Yeah. I think we need to send Liz on a hunting trip with her dad.
All right. I didn't say that one. I don't want the FBI at my door.
Sorry.
Well, I hate to say it because I know you're just joking, but these days, these morons will even take a joke like that. They will.
That's true. They'll be charging me with a crime, a thought crime.
Or a bad sense of humor, one or the other.
That's true.
Incur different penalties.
Some of my jokes really are a crime. I admit that. But as Steve Allen, the great Steve Allen once said, I'm loyal to a fault. I have many faults, and I'm loyal to every one of them. So that's kind of just what it is. That's where I am.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.